Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
So happy Mother's Day to all the moms. It's great to see everybody. Trust that your week was incredible and that you have come this morning just ready to dive into the Word of God and spend some time within the Scripture and then let speak to us and then walk out of here strengthened and hopefully ready to step into an area in your walk with the Lord that perhaps you haven't, or there'd be definitely greater expectation. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, since we were distracted by cahoots for a moment. Let's center just back in prayer for a second. Father, thank you for all the moms, for all the ladies in the house. Thank you for the blessing that they are to us and what they model and what they demonstrate of your character in so many different ways. Father, we just pray now as we turn to your word that you would speak to us. Let your word have its rightful place in our life. Let the authority of the word of God transform us this morning. Let us enjoy, God, the scripture, learning from it, partaking of it, but then applying it to our life. Help me, Father God, as I communicate this message to say no more than what you want me to say and to say no less than what you want me to say, Father God. We thank you for the joy of scripture, that it's life to us, that it's food to our spirit and direction to our path, we pray. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen. Over the next several minutes, I just want to talk to you about having a strong faith. And I couldn't help but think as I was preparing for this message this morning of the individual that we celebrated Friday as Diane McConnell stepped into eternity last Sunday. And we had her service Friday morning. It was just a joy this past week as just talking with her family members and friends that knew her well, just about their encounters with Diane. I think of the encounters that Robin and I had with her over the last 7 years, and just the impact that she had on our life. And so I want to use her just as we springboard into the pages of Scripture as an example for us. Many of you, I'm well aware, in the room don't know who Diane is, but 17 years ago, almost 17 years to the day of her passing, Diane received a diagnosis that she had cancer. The doctor gave her 3 to 6 months to live. All right? So she received this diagnosis, 3 to 6 months left to live. And here we are 17 years later, and we celebrated, we honored her Friday. How many would say Diane got a little OT? She got a little bit of overtime to live from what the doctor said, you have 3 to 6 months. In fact, she had 6,205 days added to that diagnosis. Pretty awesome, pretty incredible. As I have grown to know and love her over the last almost 7 years, and after what I learned of her even more this last week, just dialoguing with people, man, if I could nickname Diane, I would nickname Diane Little Thunder. She was quiet. She was a petite little thing, but she stormed heaven on behalf of others. She had stacks of prayer journals of people that she would be praying for and writing those prayer requests out, writing those names out next to her Bible. Though she battled cancer for all of those years, you didn't hear, or at least I never heard her feel sorry for herself or for the condition that she found herself in, but you heard her talk about prayer. You heard her talk about what God can do. You heard her talk about people coming to faith and people that she knew, important people to her that she was praying for. She really became a testimony of the power of prayer, but also the power of a prayer warrior. And I want to use her, her example, as God gave her 17 more years. I don't know why God gave her 17 more years, but I can only imagine God saying, hey, I'm giving you 17 more years because there's some prayers that people, that you need to offer for people that won't have prayer offered for them unless you do it, Diane. So I need you to stick around and to pray for these people. She passed on her list. Think about this. She's so passionate about people. She's so concerned about the eternity of people that she had been praying for that had yet come to faith in Christ, that to one of her friends, she said, here, I want you to take this list and I want you to continue to pray for these people because they need to come to know Jesus. The power of prayer, but also the power of faith, the expectancy that God hears and answers our prayer. She becomes this larger-than-life example for us. And it really, her life serves as a picture window into our text today. If you would go to Mark chapter 11, I want to just spend some time in six verses as we look at verses 20 through 26 or 25, depending on the Bible that you're using. You may have verse 26 right there, or your verse 26 may be down at the bottom of the page. It may be right after 25. It may be footnoted. The reason why it's footnoted is because of the old text that we have, the manuscripts. Some of the oldest ones that we have in possession don't contain verse 26. Verse 26 says this, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. So it doesn't mean that there's not some older manuscripts that have yet to be found that would contain that text. Maybe what happened was a scribe added that verse 26 in addition to what Jesus was saying there in Mark 11, because Jesus said something very familiar in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And so they just added it here in Mark 11 as well. I just say all of that to say that the statement is consistent. Verse 26 is consistent with the words of Jesus that you find other places. So just because it may not be listed in the context of right there, right on the heels of verse 25, it's not pulling words of Jesus out of context. Jesus says something very similar. It doesn't discredit the accuracy or the consistency of Scripture. So that's just a sidebar. I'm sure some of you woke up this morning thinking, hey, I know we're still in Mark 11, but what about this? How come? So that's just a little background to that. But what we have here is we're in the final stages of the final week of Jesus' life. Last Sunday in our text that we looked at from Mark 11, it was Tuesday. So it was Tuesday that Jesus went and he cleansed the temple. It was Tuesday that he cursed the fig tree. So today it's Wednesday, and just laying out the activity and the timeline of our scripture for today. Wednesday, it's hump day. How many are just so thankful when you hit Wednesday because you know that Thursday and Friday are coming quick? You got through Monday and you're like, yes, it's going to be the weekend before we know it. Amen. And so today, in our text day, it's Wednesday, it's hump day. Verse 20 says this, as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away by its roots, and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. So that fig tree Jesus cursed on Tuesday is withered. Just a quick observation, this tree dies overnight, right? Typically, that process would take weeks. That process would take months to see a tree fully wither and get brittle and die. That's not the case here, man. When Jesus cursed it, it was over. Peter replies, Rabbi, look, there's this shock upon his face. He's stunned by what he sees. And so this sets up a lesson for us this morning on faith, a lesson on having a strong faith. I want you to think about something as Jesus is in this dialogue with his disciples, with these early followers. They are days away from having their world radically shift, radically change to becoming a follower of Jesus that has to do it like you and I do it. up to this point in life, they've been having face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversations, seeing what Jesus is doing, seeing how Jesus is interacting with people, seeing how Jesus is responding, seeing the miracles of Jesus. But now, they're about 44 days away from Jesus' ascension to where they're going to have to live their walk of faith like you and I do. And so what does Jesus talk to them about? He talks to them about faith, and he talks to them about prayer in this passage of Scripture this morning. How many know faith is important? Amen? We go to God in faith. We are saved by faith. We do works in faith, believing God. Jesus said this, in fact, as your faith is, be it unto you. Your faith is crucial. So your scripture, as you read your scripture, you learn that over and over the importance of faith. I mean, there's passages of scripture like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, the second portion of verse 23 says, all things are possible for one who believes. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says, and he did not do many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. So faith is crucial. When we don't operate in faith, we aren't going to see God like we could have or we would have. So faith is critical. Today's passage reminds us how essential it is. So what I want to do for the next few moments is just talk to you about having a strong faith. The first thought is this, all right? The first characteristic of a strong faith is this, its source. Its source is God. Look at it in our text this morning, Mark 11, verse 22. It says this, and Jesus answered them, say it with me, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Not faith in faith. Not faith in faith isn't the target. It's faith in God. God is the target. Faith in faith, it's up to you. Faith in God, it's up to Him. Our faith is in Him. He is the object of our faith. He is the hope of our faith. He is the confidence of our faith. Warren Wiersbe, author and pastor, scholar, said this, true faith in God is based on His Word, John chapter 15, verse 7, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and His Word reveals His way to us. It has well been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. The issue isn't that you have to have this big faith, that you try to work up this big faith. Look what happens with the disciples and how Jesus responds to this in Luke chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. It's on the screen. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The faith the size of what? A mustard seed. Do you know what Jesus is saying? In a very real way, he's saying, hey, let's not make this so complicated, all right? It isn't like you have to have a bunch of faith. The issue is, do you have real faith? If you have a little bit of real faith, it's very powerful. A little seed can in the ground can produce a big tree. A little bit of pressure upon coal can produce a beautiful diamond. A little bit of faith can birth a church. It can cause love to triumph over despair. It can bring healing into a body. It can let the omnipotent God move in supernatural ways. A little bit of real faith can. Let's not make faith the focus, but to keep the focus on God, because if you do, what happens? Jesus says that you can say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it will obey you. A small amount of faith in a big God, and the result is God's supernatural work. I was thinking about this just even most recently, just encounters that I've had. Thinking about the last year even. And things that we encountered and things that we saw God do and God push through and God accomplished, and do I need a switch, Warren? I don't know why it's doing that. I've been good all day.
And so we saw God, you know, just with outreach stuff that we're doing and build ways to build bridges and opportunities that we've had. And because of doing food distributions, conversations that's led to, and then opportunities that those conversations led to for that individual to be a blessing to somebody else and share the love of Christ with people and bring hope to people. And then I think about missions as we've given towards missions, as we've gone on missions, as we supported missions and being able to give more to missions than we've had been able to in the last 7 years. I think about that. And I think about things that we've been able to do, just little things in our facility and things how we've seen growth happen. And you know how that happened? Is because we put a confidence in our faith in God and step towards God instead of stepping back and saying, wait, we just got to hold tight, sit tight, not do anything because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. But how many know we have a big God? God's bigger than anything that you and I face. God's bigger than any obstacle. And so you step towards him because he's bigger and results is big things happen. The second thing that I think about in having a strong faith is spoken. A strong faith is spoken, man. It's communicated. It's articulated. What are you believing God for? Let me ask you that question. I want you to maybe even make a note of that. What am I believing God for? What audacious thing? What thing that only God can do type of thing are you believing God for? And with that, let me ask you a second question, because it's like, okay, only God can do that. It's a faith thing that God, faith in God that only God can do this. Who have you told? Man, I'm believing God for this. I feel like God has told me to do this. I feel like, you know, the Lord has spoken to me about this. And I think it's so important, because here's what we do. So often people are afraid of telling others what they're believing God for, because why? They're afraid. What if God doesn't come through? I'll look like a fool. I'll look, you know, or they don't want to look foolish, or maybe they doubt whether they've actually heard from God. How many have ever done that? I don't know if I heard from God, so I'm going to keep this me and God's secret, so I'm not going to say anything about it. I want to submit to you that a faith in God is a spoken faith. It's articulated. Look at it, verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, and it will be done for him. Truly. It says, truly, this, in other words, Jesus is saying, hey, this is important. Don't miss this, man. This is too legit to quit. Truly, I say to you, everyone say you. It's personal. It's you. It's not your brother. It's you. Truly, I say to you, it's not abstract. It's not someone else. It's you. Look at it. Whoever says. This isn't if you are one of my 12. It's not if you've seen me with your physical eyes. This is without qualification or location. Whoever says to this mountain, I'm just reading on this this past week, a couple scholars talked about, as Jesus is speaking this, and the before them is the Mount of Olives. So they're approaching the Temple Mount, and the Temple Mount is a massive structure, 15 football fields in size. It's huge. Today, it's where the Dome of the Rock sits. So this is a huge, huge area. And what happened was, in that time frame, Herod the Great built the temple platform as he moved part of the ridge of Mount Moriah. He went up and up the slope and began to take apart the mountain and moved it down to create the temple platform. It was an architectural wonder of its day. He moved the mountain to create a platform, and everyone there would have understood that. And Jesus is using that as a backdrop of what he is speaking. You can move, humanly speaking, you can move a mountain. given enough time, given enough resources, given enough TNT, given enough ingenuity, you can move some mountains, right? I mean, aren't you glad that they're able to move mountains around and build roads up so you can get over the Rocky Mountains and you can get to the beach in 27 hours from here? I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if Ryan was driving, it would be faster. Right? I mean, you can, just the thing, you go to Branson, and when we were going to school in Branson, man, it would take you forever to get from Branson to Springfield, or to Springfield to Branson, because all the traffic. But now they move some mountains, man, it's 4-lane. You can get there in like 40 minutes or 30 minutes from Springfield. You can move some mountains by faith, too. There's evidence right here in our text that you can move a mountain. I mean, Herod did it. It cost him money and it cost him time. And Jesus said in verse 23, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." Look at it. Whoever says and believes what he says will come to pass. Pastor Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, a great church in Brooklyn, New York, said this: if we see only the problems, we get depressed and start making wrong decisions. When we have faith, we see God bigger than any mountain, and we know he is going to take care of us, from his book, Fresh Faith. He's talking about words of faith regarding the obstacles that we face in life. How many of you have obstacles in life? Right? I mean, we all have them. God is saying, calling on God, speaking life into those situations, things that we know are his will, speaking them, believing them, articulating them. I'm not talking about name it, claim it stuff. I need my red Jeep in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that he is the God who takes things that are not and calls them as they are. He is the God who moves mountains as we look to him and we agree together in faith and step towards him. He is the God who is able, as we call on him in prayer, in faith, and walk out of that time saying, "Man, I believe God for my healing. I believe God is able to restore this relationship. I believe God is able to protect me, my family, during this time, during this season, as we step on into this trip," or whatever the scenario is, that God can. Understand, this isn't just a one-time statement that Jesus makes, okay? I'm just not cherry-picking a passage or a verse here in my statements today. This is seen multiple times by our Lord in Scripture. Matthew 17, verse 20. Different time, different place, different situation. And Jesus said, and he said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, for nothing is impossible for you." In verses 5 and 6, I mean, are you believing God as you are vocalizing, as you're speaking those things that you've asked, that you've been seeking him for, and believing that it will be a reality? Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it'll be done for him." All I'm saying is this. All I'm saying is there is power in the words that you speak. Proverbs 18, verse 21, our life verse for the day, says this: "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Listen, you can kill a marriage by the words you speak. True? You can cause a marriage or a relationship to blossom and to spring to life by the words you speak. You can cause someone to be timid and insecure by the things that you say over them or the things that you say to them. Or you can provide platforms for them to step up and be the things that you proclaim over their life. Speak over their life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says this. It is written, I believe, therefore I've spoken. He's quoting Psalms 116, verse 10. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. But God can. I mean, the song that we sang earlier, Robin had no idea what the text was, she probably knew what the text was, but we didn't talk about the message. But you think about the words to that song, Authority, that we sang, how it just weaves together. There is value in the power of our words. Let me give you an example, all right? Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, it's the story of Abraham, or his originally called Abram. Abram means exalted father. Abraham, though, God changed his name, right? If you are a student of Scripture, or if you've been to Sunday school when you were a kid or whatever, you learned about Father Abraham, right? And you knew that God had spoken to him. God changed his name. Hey, you're no longer Abram. You're not exalted father any longer. You are Abraham, the father of many nations. So just think about that. God is changing his name to reflect what? His future. True? Can you imagine? Abraham comes home from this conversation, this interaction with the Lord, where the Lord says, hey, you're no longer Abram, you're Abraham, and you're father of many nations, and maybe Abraham was still out at work or whatever, and he comes home from that encounter, from the long day of work as well, and he's like, Sarai, how you doing today? Do I look different? Got a different name. Don't call me Abram anymore. I am now Abraham. And she's going, what? Because she knew, she would know what Abraham means, you know, a father of many nations. Yeah, right. We don't have one kid. How can we be a father of many nations? How can you be a father? You've not been able to produce anything. And Abram's like, no, that's who I am, because that's what God has called me. And you know the rest of the story. Maybe Abram goes to a friend, and his friend's like, hey, Abe, why'd you change your name? I changed my name because God promised me that I would be a father of a multitude. And so what's he doing? He's speaking God's promises over his life. Is he not? He's speaking that which God has called him. Be confident in what you're believing God for. Be confident in what God is calling you. Be confident in your situation. Why is this so important? Here's why. Because doubt left unexpressed will die. Right? Unbelief talks to itself. And instead of talking, it'll talk to itself instead of allowing you to talk to God. But faith expressed, what will happen? Will grow stronger. I'm Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. I'm Abraham. And God, he takes on what God has called him. There is a value of speaking words of faith. They'll work for you. I can remember just with our kids, and you've heard me joke about it, but when they were little, man, I can remember just Robin and I just speaking and praying the scripture over their life, declaring words of faith over their life. Man, you will be highly favored. You'll be the head, not the tail, and just praying over them. And then seeing God open up doors and God provide for them and God giving them opportunity. There is value in speaking words of faith. While words of doubt or despair work against you, they'll penalize you. Words of faith will push you. A mountain-moving faith is vocalized. Another example, I won't go there. I won't take much time. I'll just give you this reference. 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. Let me ask you, what was David speaking in the valley when he was eye to eye, face to face with Goliath? Words of faith, wasn't he? Absolutely. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, look at it. What's your mountain? What's your mountain that you're facing? God wants you to believe him that he is able. What will be required of you is that you have to put yourself out there and you have to step towards what God is calling you to do and what God is asking of you. Leads us to our third thought, is a strong faith prays. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in what? Prayer. You know what happens if you don't pray? Verse 23 would indicate that you're just walking around and you're just talking to things if you don't pray. But if you pray, things start happening. What starts it? What gets it moving? You pray. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. James 4, you have not because why? You ask not. Let me ask you a question this morning. What's the greater tragedy? Prayers that go unanswered or prayers that go unasked? Think about that. You're believing for what you cannot see. This is what prayer is about. You're asking because you have confidence that the askee, that God can move, that God can change, that God can step into the situation. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us that it's assurance and it's conviction. Certainly there is the will of God involved when we pray, but the conversation isn't about, should I pray or shouldn't I pray? No, you pray. And you live and you walk and you submit to the will of God and you ask. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. This is why spending time, you personally, me personally, spending time in prayer is so important and so vital. Because you're building your awareness of the presence of God, the will of God in your life, that you're sensitive to his will, to his direction. This is why coming to prayer meetings is so, so important. For us as a body of believers, that we would come together as a whole, whether you've ever been to one or not, that you're coming and you're praying and we're praying in line with the will of God, hopefully, and to the plans and the purposes of God. And we're uniting our faith together in what God can do. Let me just take one last thought on having a strong faith. A strong faith forgives. Look at it, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. This is so simple, but it's so big. When you're praying, we have to make sure that our heart, that there isn't sin in our heart. That you're not holding on to things. That you're not being angry or unforgiving towards somebody. Look, you don't know everyone's story, do we? You don't know why they chose to do something they chose to do, perhaps, that affected you. And by no means does that justify what they did. You don't know why someone responds to a pandemic like they responded to a pandemic, the way they responded to you. You don't know why. But what are we admonished to do? We're admonished to walk by faith and we're admonished to forgive. This is huge. That we're not harboring things in our life. Psalm 66:18 says this, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Jesus is saying, unforgiveness is going to block you from receiving that which God wants to do in your life. You aren't winning by holding on to unforgiveness. You're not winning by looking at somebody and going, oh, so stupid that you did that, and building a barrier. You're not winning by looking at somebody and saying, why are you responding that way? in allowing bitterness to grow in your life and allowing anger to grow in your life. You win by letting go. Probably some of the wisest words of counsel that I ever received was during a very difficult time in a season of ministry that Robin and I went through. And I've told this story before, but it's so prevalent and I hang on to it so often. As we went through this difficult season, this spiritual leader in our life said this: Steve, the best thing that you can do during this season is to grab a hold of Matthew 5:8 and anchor there and live there and walk in that. Matthew 5:8 says this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man, I took hold of that. And I dug into that passage of Scripture because there was things in me where I was done wrong and I wanted to fight and I wanted to cuss. I didn't want to cuss. But I was, maybe I did, I probably did. But I was so mad and we were hurt and we were like thrown under a bus. And how many know when it's you that goes dunk dunk, you call the dunk dunk and the bus just ran over you? That stinks. And it would have been so easy to get bitter and angry and unforgiving. And those words of Scripture grabbed a hold of us and walked us out of that difficult season. And it was walking by faith. And we saw God move and do things in our lives that, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at today if we would have chose the opposite. As you look at this final two passages or these final two verses, you understand this. There's the potential of two miracles in this passage that we're looking at this morning. The first miracle is that a mountain has moved, whatever that mountain may be. And that's awesome. But the second miracle is that forgiveness is extended. And that's awesome. And that's freeing. And that's challenging. Unforgiveness will hinder what God wants to do in our lives. Look at it, verse 25. The worship team would come. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That word forgive is, in the original language, paints this picture of hurling, like just chucking it, just getting that thing that is causing that unforgiveness and just like chucking it far from you, as far as the east is from the west, and just like, I'm not hanging on to that. I'm not hanging on to that anger. I'm not hanging on to that bitterness. I'm not hanging on to that frustration. I'm not hanging on to that whatever. I'm not hanging on. And you're hurling it. And isn't that what Jesus did with our sin? He removed it as far as the east is from the west. His forgiveness said, look, watch this. It's gone. You're free. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. Father God, as we bring this service to a close, God, I thank you that you are a faithful God. God, you are so faithless. Paul writes to Timothy that even as we are faithless, you are faithful. But Lord, today is not about being faithless. Today is being about full of faith in God. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this place. I pray for those that are watching online or back in the family room watching. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that faith in God would arise in our hearts. Expectancy would arise in our hearts. God, that there would just be this, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we know that there's a breakthrough coming in the name of Jesus. And God, whatever that need is, Lord, I pray, God, that you would get the glory, because it's only right that you do. And God, that we would continually step to it with this confidence and with this audacity and with this endurance, knowing, God, that you've been faithful to us in the past. You're going to be faithful in the future. So, Lord, I'm going to be faithful now because of who you are. Lord, let faith arise in our hearts. If there's anyone here in this room, or maybe they're watching online, God, and they've never expressed faith to trust you and to receive your forgiveness and eternal life in Christ. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that faith in God, faith in Jesus would arise in their heart. And God, that they would take that step. Lord, maybe they came into this place this morning and you weren't even on the radar, or maybe you were just a blimp off in the distance, but God, something, as they've walked through this service, as they've participated through this service, God, something is, there's been a changing, and they can sense it in their heart. They sense your presence in this place in a way that maybe they've never sensed it before, and you're awakening them, and you're asking them, hey, will you take a step of faith to me and let me be your Lord and let me be your Savior? And you're sitting here this morning, you're watching online, and you're like, man, that is what I want to do. That's what I need to do. Steve, will you please pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? Anyone at all? You'd say, man, Steve, I want to express my faith and my trust in Jesus this morning. God, you know us. You know where we're at spiritually. God, I pray that, Lord, salvation, if anyone needs you today, that they would take that step of faith and trust you, receive forgiveness of their sins, receive the gift of eternal life, and be able to look at life from a different perspective than what they had, because they're looking through the lens of hope and possibility because of their faith in God. Lord, we love you. And Lord, secondly, I just pray for all the believers in the room, all the believers watching online, that, Lord, as they look at this passage, Lord, all of us could say, well, man, there's been things that I've been praying for, things that I've been asking, they've not been answered yet. Does that mean that I don't even have the faith the size of a mustard seed? Instead of looking at it that way, may we look at it, Lord God, through the eyes of, Lord, what can my God do? Lord, you've not done it yet, but Lord, I'm going to continue to trust you, because my faith isn't in my circumstances or even in my prayers. My faith is in you. And so, Lord God, let faith rise in our heart. If you're facing a situation right now and you're just like, hey, Steve, would you just pray for me? I just need faith to arise in my heart. I just need confidence in God to arise in my heart. If that's any of you in this room, would you just slip up your hand? I just want to pray for you, agree with you in prayer. I see that hand. See those hands. God, all over the room. Lord, we don't want to just waste our time, hear a word, and then walk out of here and not respond to it. God, you know the needs. You know the situations that are represented here with those hands raised. God, may confident expectation permeate their spirit right now in the name of Jesus. May there be a shift, God, that hasn't happened yet. May it happen. And God, that Lord, it just takes a sliver for your kingdom to rush in and change a situation. God, let that happen. I pray. And Lord, for any of us that just need to know forgiveness, but also maybe the need to extend forgiveness because we've allowed an angst to fester in our heart towards people. Something's been taken from us, and we've allowed something to take root in our heart. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would call it what it is in our lives if it's there. And God, that we would ask for forgiveness, that we would take the necessary steps to be free from that. God, we want to see mountains move. We want to see your kingdom advance forcefully in all of our lives, in the lives of those represented here today. Lord, let it happen, I pray. And may we speak words of faith because our confidence is in you. Because there is no one greater than you, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.